Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith of Life, where we walk by faith and not by sight in the process of what God takes us through and makes us ready for. Thank God for everyone who's joining me and everyone who faithfully listens to this encouraging broadcast. We thank God for how he's moving by his spirit and his power, how he's causing us to thrive and to grow, how he's causing us to understand purpose, kingdom, how he's causing us to even move, even in the place where we are being made in obedient faith. When God calls an individual, when he calls a family, when he calls a nation for his glory, he gets the glory out of them, and he makes sure that his name is glorified in the midst of what's going on in their life. He makes sure that what he says concerning their life manifests all, even though they have to go through the place of allowing their faith to become that which is genuine. Because the word of God lets us understand and know that our faith is to be that which stands and perseveres and looks like God and always produces that which is more precious than silver and gold, that is the genuineness of it. Says, we believe God, and we know that what he's saying to us concerning our lives, it is so. We believe it. We stand on it. And we look for the manifestation of it, regardless of what we have to go through. He never fails. He always shows up, and he shows up to perform what he promised, what he said in our lives. And we thank God for that. We see that God is able to cause a favor to happen in your life that we've seen in the Bible through many, many individuals, from Ruth to Esther to David to even Abraham. When God begins to cause that favor to happen in your life, it brings also resources. And God causes that the resources to be those things that people will add to your life, whether it's their support, their gifts, their talents, their stand with you, ability to give information, to make things happen. They stand with you until the victory of what God says manifests in your life. When we look at David, David was in the cave of Adullam hiding from Saul, and he shows up. When he shows up in that cave, he never expected 400 men besides his parents and his brothers to show up there, but they did. They show up to give him support. They believed in his leadership. They believed that he was chosen by God, and they supported him, even though it meant a bounty was going to be on their head. When they brought their resources, themselves, their gifts, their talents, even though they themselves were in different conditions, they said, we believe what God has said. And David's victory was their victory. God blessed them, and he blessed David, and the manifestation of what God promised shows up in David's life and also in their lives. Also, this is seen with Abraham. Abraham was in, there was a famine in the land. He goes into Egypt on two different occasions, and he was afraid that because Sarah was so beautiful that the king was going to take her. So he says to the king, this is not my sister. This is not my wife. This is my sister. And when the king finds out through the revelation of God of what he has done, God wouldn't allow the king to touch him, would not allow the men of of the kings to touch him, but he allowed them to bless Abraham on both occasions. David was not Saul was not able to touch David because of what God had for him. So when God has a call and a purpose on your life and he's told you what he's going to use you for, his protection, his divine protection is there. Part of your yes and agreement in your process is not having, not allowing your flesh or the enemy or circumstance to make you become stiff-necked against God, but to stand in agreement with him, stand in faith, knowing that it is so, having the heart like the second generation of Israelites that said, we will trust God, we will believe him, we will take him at his word, and we will walk according to what he says. And you see that because they went in and they received all of God's promises. That process that God takes us through prepares us. And the things that try us, all the tests and the things that we go through, but it's making us and it's causing us to trust and align ourselves with God more than anything. Abraham was able to look up at the stars and believe God. And believe God's word, and God accounted it to him as righteousness. We have to have that faith that says, God, even though I haven't seen it manifest yet, I still have the title deed to this. It belongs to me because I trust your word. You cannot lie. You cannot fail. There is no deceit in you. You are a God that is faithful and true in all of your ways, and so you are able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what I ask, think, or imagine, and even what you show me, I can trust it to manifest in my life. When we have that type of faith, the Bible says that if we believe like Abraham, receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he then says these blessings of Abraham belong to you. So we're grateful unto the Lord because he allows us to walk in faith that causes us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth. So I'm grateful unto the Lord. In the time that we have left, I want to encourage you in this, that the king has the last say so. The king has the final word. The king is able to make something happen for you even when it looks like it's impossible or it won't happen. When we look at the book of Nehemiah, in that first chapter of Nehemiah, in the second chapter, I just want to go over just a little bit of the first chapter in Nehemiah 1 and to set the stage for those who may not understand it or know it. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. The children of Israel were in exile. They had been split in different places, different directions, and they had been in exile for some time. But God had warned them that if they walked away from him, if they treated him badly, or as Nehemiah says, treated him like dirt, didn't want to do what he had told them to do, didn't follow the commands, didn't have respect over the things that God had set in order with Moses about what they should do and how they should do it. He lets them understand and know that, God, we've sinned, we've fallen short, and Nehemiah finds out the condition of Jerusalem through some fellow Jews who returned from Judah, and he asks about the people. He asks about those in exile. He asks about the condition of the city, and when he learns that the walls of the city are in a horrible condition, that they're appalling, that there's rubble, that the gates are in cedar, that things are not the way that he remembers and what he knew was supposed to be like, immediately when he heard this, he sits down and he begins to weep and he begins to mourn and fast for days and pray before God. And he asks God, you know, he starts to tell God, listen to my prayer. Listen to my prayer. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm interceding for Israel. And he confesses and acknowledges the rebellion and the sin of himself, of his ancestors, of all the people. And he wants God to take the word that he said and be reminded of it, knowing that the Israelites were his people, because God lets them understand, if you walk away from me, if you do all these things, if you rebel, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to scatter you from this different places, and I'm going to do all of this because you walked away from me. But if you come back to me and do what you said, he says that I'm going to bring you back together again. I'm going to honor my word. And Nehemiah reminds God, as he's saying, listen, that these are your people, these are your servants, and that you are powerfully impressed about them because you said you were going to redeem them if they return. So he's crying out to the Lord. So Nehemiah is a cupbearer. Cupbearers are not supposed to have any type of sadness when they go to the king. In the presence of the king, they're supposed to be joyful. Everyone that serves is supposed to be joyful in the presence of the king. They're supposed to not have anything, because they are supposed to keep the same flow of joy around them. And when Nehemiah tells him about the city walls and the gates, he's letting them understand that this place where my father, my parents, and all of my people are from has been destroyed, and it has to been built up. And what remains has left, basically, it exposes the people to attacks from enemies. It exposes them to all kinds of things because they don't have walls and gates that are built up to protect the ones that remain. And so the king understood this because he was a king himself. And so he understood what it was to have protection of walls and gates and different things. And so Nehemiah goes, is getting ready to present to the king his cup. And the king says, ask him, he says, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Are you sick? Are you depressed? Why is your face so long? What's going on? And Nehemiah begins to say, long live the king. He acknowledged the king. He says, long live the king. He says, I'm depressed about the city where my family is buried, the ruins of the city. The gates are reduced to nothing, and they're in cedar. And the king asked him, he says, what would you want me to do? What is it that you want from me? And while he's talking to the king, he's praying under his breath to the King of Kings, who's in control of all of it. He prays and he asks for the king, if it please the king, that he will send him to Judah to fix and repair the city, the walls, build them back up again and repair. And the queen is sitting right there beside the king when he's asking all this. The king says, how long is it going to take for you to do this? When will you return? When can we expect you to return? And so he gets the approval of the king. Then he says, king, if you're please provide me with a letter for the governors across the Euphrates so that I get authorized travel to Judah. Then he says, also, king, can you ask for the keeper of the king's forest to supply me with all the lumber and the beams and the timber from the forest that I need so that I can rebuild? The king gives him all of this, and he also sends along a cavalry escort so that able to have all that he needs. And what I'm saying is the King of Kings, who owns everything, because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Even when we're putting situations where we have to go to someone in authority that has the ability to say yes or no about things that we need, or things that we desire, or things for ministry, or things for the plan that God has for us. God is the one that is in control, and because it belongs to him, he turns king's heart in our favor. Even though we have been called kings and priests, he allows those who are in authority and positions to now submit to what he himself has said is my will. I'm going to make it happen. So when we pray, first of all, recognizing that the places where many have fallen short, we have fallen short, but the word of God is there. God says, if you do this, I'll do this, that there's a change, that there's a turn, especially in places where we know that there has been a failure in our actions. We return to the Lord wholeheartedly, and we're saying, Lord, this is for your glory. This is for your glory. You're a covenant-keeping God, and God, we need you to act, especially when it comes to ministry or a program that God wants to do in a community. And we know that there have been people there who might have started the way, stayed the way, set the foundation for something, and then people have walked away from it. And because of their sins, things have come in, and we can repent and earnestly say, Lord, we need you. We need you, and I'm returning, and I'm repenting and interceding, and we're asking for your hand, for your favor. God is able to make that happen. He's able to make programs that the government said they're not going to do for different areas move and manifest for your area, for your good, in ways that blows your mind. He's able to make that program to help that community, to help the homeless, to help kids, teenagers, to help families be successful. God is able to do that because he holds their hearts and their will and their mind, and he's able to give you favor and the resources that you need. And so don't be discouraged for those who are hearing what's going on in the government and all of these cuts and all these things. God is our source, and he's telling us, I want you to live knowing that I will provide and I will give you favor when your ways please me. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for Abraham for a Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call destiny of God. Be encouraged and know that you're blessed and more than a conqueror in Jesus' name.